And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday, back in the saddle. Took last week off. Team competition up there in Louisiana. Team competition down in Australia, if you're into that. Yeah. And I'm clearly not, so no show last week. But we're back. AT&T, or no, I'm sorry, CJ Cup, Byron Nelson this year, TPC Craig Ranch. We'll get to that in our second. But first, let's welcome in a guy that did play some bets last week. I know he won again on the LPGA Tour with his bet. Key Stewart, read the line. How you doing, buddy?
I am well. Thank you for that. Yes, Hannah Green cashed us a little 35-1 ticket. Nice. Had her top 10 too at 4-1. So like 39-1 total for the weekend on the LPGA. Nice. I mean, she was awesome at that place. She shot 5-under on the back nine on Sunday to win by 3. So when you're backing somebody and you watch them just like go to town like that, like the week before when I had the parlay with Scotty and Nelly combined, you know, and you're rooting for the good golfers and you're not like hoping, man, there's no better feeling. So it was a fun Sunday in the Stewart household and for all those that read the line.
Nice. 35-1, Hannah Green, congrats. And of course, team competition there in Louisiana, Rory and Shane Lowry. Rory gets his 25th win on the PGA Tour. Now, look, it's always great to win, money that comes with it. They're good buddies, you know, traveling around together. But winning feels good, but how big of a win is it? Let's say for Rory, who, you know, we're trying to kind of push along here a little bit, win the Masters. All right, we're not going to win the Masters. Let's get back into the winner's circle with another major championship. We know how long it's been. How big is this? Is this, something he looks back on and said, yeah, you know, big win there with my boy Shane. Off we go. It propels me to bigger things.
I think for Rory, it's big. It's a big deal. And the reason being is that I think he puts a lot of internal pressure on himself that we're not really aware of. I mean, we see it when he does like the different things at Augusta, trying to win Augusta or whatever, but he's well aware. It's been a decade since he's won a major championship. He's going to Valhalla, last place he won a major. I think for him, I mean, he had like 7 starts prior this year. He had 1 top 10 that was at the Valero. So everything else was like a top 20 or top 25 ish type start. So this really puts him in the discussion of like, well, with Rom having a bad Masters and Rory winning here, he becomes like the guy to take on Scotty going into Valhalla, which he's going to Quail Hollow next week, which, you know, it's obviously a place he plays very, very well. So he can build a lot of momentum from this. So I actually think it's a pretty big deal for an event that's a team event that, you know, he split duty with Shane and everything. But to answer your question, I think for just Rory, I think it is a pretty big deal for momentum.
Yeah, it feels like it. Feels like it could be a nice little stepping stone for him. You know, you're still under the gun, right? You've got your team going on there with Lowry and, you know, decent crowds there. And you're trying to win and the juices are flowing and, you know, and so hitting some big shots. I mean, he just continues to bomb that driver, you know, stepping up to par 4s, 380 yards, and he's running it right there next to the greenside bunker, pin high. Hit some nice short game shots down the stretch. So yeah, I think there's some certainly good takeaways, good vibes for Rory to take away from that. As you mentioned, as he goes back to Valhalla, and who's going to step up and beat Scotty Scheffler? I mean, that's kind of where it is now. I mean, Scotty is absolutely beating these guys like a drum. Clearly the best player in the world. I don't care if it's PGA Tour or LIV Golf, and you know, they're unhappy about it. I guarantee it. They're going to tip their hat and they're going to say the right thing, you know, in the media, but that camera goes off. They're not happy about it. You know, these guys are competitors and it runs deep. So let's see if Rory can kind of spin that forward into something, you know, nice here in May, in June. Some big tournaments coming up, as you mentioned, North Carolina starting next week and then the PGA right around the corner. But first, before we, you know, get to those tournaments and Scotty Scheffler has his child and then he comes back and starts playing golf again. Scotty not in the field this week. We've got the Byron Nelson. And this one kind of hits home for me, this tournament. I've watched this tournament in person many, many times back in the 90s. My sister lived in Dallas And we would always go down there about this time. And so I've been to this tournament at the old Las Colinas. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
TPC Las Colinas. I love that place. I thought that course was cool. And I was going back through my notes, Keith.
Yeah.
And before I turn it over to you, I was looking at this run of tournaments back in the 90s when it was the Byron Nelson. And of course, Byron was alive and he would sit there. Yeah. And 1995, I graduated high school in 1995. And we were there at this tournament. And Ernie Els won in 95. Okay. And then in 96, go back, Phil wins. Okay.
Oh, all right.
97, Tiger Mania.
Huh.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable scene. Tiger wins. How about that 3-year run? Ernie Els, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
good. Back in the old Byron Nelson days when Byron was there. And it was awesome. I mean, the field. And look, fast forward, field's not quite, that deep with those kinds of names. But Jason Day, he's here. He's a defending champ. Cage Lee's won here a couple times. Now we're playing TPC Craig Ranch. Tell our audience, a little bit about this golf course and the kind of player we're looking for.
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point. Las Colinas is no Augusta National, but man, it's a much better track than TPC Craig Ranch. This is far from Baskin Robbins this week. This is pretty much straight vanilla, soft serve, wafer cone. Yes, you have some length, it's 7,400 yards. Probably the spiciest thing that's coming this week is the weather. They've already gotten 6 inches of rain in the last 10 days to 2 weeks, and it's supposed to rain horribly on Thursday. So everyone watch your lineups, whether you're doing DFS or if you want to live bet this thing versus pre-tournament. I can't argue against that. It's supposed to rain all 4 days. It was very wet and rain soaked last year when Jason Day won. Maybe it's just a rainy time of year, in Dallas. I'm not quite sure. We only have 3 of the top 40 in the official world golf rankings. So it's kind of at a weak point in the schedule here with the signature next week at a great track like Quail Hollow running right into Louisville and Valhalla for the next major championship. So, I don't know. Maybe there's more wives out there having babies, but we're not getting guys to show up for Byron Nelson anymore. And I think it might have something to do with the golf course too. I mean, you're going to bang away here. It's going to play soft, 7,400 plus yards. And then a 30-year approach shots are coming in from over 200 yards. They tried to limit scoring a little bit, but over 3 years, and don't go back further than 3 years. We've only had 3 additions here. 21 KH Lee wins, 22 KH Lee wins, and then 23 Jason Day wins. Average winning score is 25 under par. So basically it's a race to like 28 subpar scores. So really what I'm featuring is that I need some proximity to the hole and I need guys that can fill up the cup. And a lot of the guys that I'm going to talk about today, as we go through the board, will have played last week. And the reason for that is that they saw the ball go in the hole a lot. And golf can be very, very confidence driven. And I think momentum is a real thing. And if there's a guy that finished top 10 last week, even though he had a partner, the idea that he saw his name up on the scoreboard and he was 21 under or 23 under or 20 under or 18 under, something like that, or made one of the more difficult cuts last week and grinded to be one of those top 33 teams out of 80, I think that goes a long way. And those are some of the things I'm kind of featuring. We got to watch out for the weather. We got to make a bunch of low scores, and we need some proximity to the hole, because if you're going to make 28 birdies, you probably got to hit 50% of your greens in regulation have got to be in birdie range, like what, under 25 feet to make that many putts. So kind of fun from a scoring point of view, but from the challenge of inside and out of golf, pretty vanilla.
Last 24 rounds coming in. Let's just go to birdies.
Yeah.
Who's made the most birdies? Taylor Pendrith. He's one. Matty Schmid.
Yeah. Matty Schmid, probably, right?
Yeah, he's two. I'm not going to give you 3 because I'm gonna save it. 4 is Tom Hoge. Wesley Bryan. That's kind of skewed, though. Keith Mitchell. Oh, my God. I can't bet Keith at 6. Ben Hahn, 7. Hayden Springer, 8. How about that?
Hayden Springer's had a good Q1 plus now. Keith Mitchell, man. I bet him in Houston and he goes and misses the cut. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, like, am I just living in the 2019 Honda? Like, when's this guy? I mean, Keith's hitting the ball so good. He's hitting it so good. very popular right now, very popular pick, deserving of all the chatter, but win equity. I don't know.
Yeah. Best driver in the field, probably at least top two.
Oh yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the fairways are big here, right? It's a big ballpark, pretty wide fairways, big green,
35 acres not a fairway.
Movement and characteristics to the green. Like you said, it's pretty vanilla, right? Get up there, let it go. And you know, get in some tight proximity and you better make some putts. You know, we're going to need some birdies here because we're going to have to go low. So, all right, top of the board here. We'll get to it here in a second. But first, as we do here, a little first look. I'll hand it to you, buddy.
Let me clear some room.
Okay.
I'm clicking on Thomas Dietrich.
Whoa. Man, going for his first PGA Tour win.
Yeah.
I like it.
The thing that got me as I was digging into this and looking at what's been happening lately is that he continues to get better and better and better. And this is the type of event where you're looking for that guy that's going to have a breakthrough win, and he's going to need to do what in order to get there. And that's going to be use that putter. And over his last five starts, Trav, he's gained on average over 4 strokes on the field with the flat stick, right? Like, I mean, the guy's been rolling the rock, and you look at that golf swing, he can put it in play. So I'm thinking to myself, who can make 28 birdies this week? I think this guy can make 28 birdies and get us in contention. So I like the 40 number. He started the week, you know, high 40s, and he's already dropping. So I'm not the only one thinking this. And I mean, look at that golf swing, man.
Yeah, that's far. Nice.
That's not vanilla right there, man. That right there, that is a banana split right there with all the fixings. I mean, that thing is tasty.
It is. And yeah, he's solid. And I think he'll be there for second page come Sunday. There's no doubt. You know, the question is, can he get it done late? I do think he looked better in contention last time. I do think he is starting to look better on Sundays late, because this is a guy that, you know, look, it's a name that pops up a lot come late Sunday or late Saturdays and then into Sunday. And so he's certainly been there. He's certainly knocking on the door. He certainly has the game. I think it all comes down to Dietrich. His situation will come late on Sunday and how he feels. With that said, I do think he's getting more comfortable in that environment. And let's see if he can continue to put the pedal down and not get conservative, not steer, not, you know, the things that happen when we get under the gun, because you know you're going to have to continue to make birdies late on a Sunday, right? I mean, this is just that kind of tournament where you've got to keep the pedal down. So I would like to see Dietrich get in the winner's circle. I think that'd be very cool. I think he deserves it. He's played all over the world. He's here on the PGA Tour knocking down on the door, and I think it'd be very cool if he could get it. Now, I'm gonna stay with these vibes of trying to get that first win on the PGA. And look at this. I mean, come on.
Oh.
I mean, here we go. Here's a picture with my pick, Justin Lauer. Oh. I'm probably going to surprise some people here, but look, I've been, you know, kind of running the models here like I do, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But, man, I put these key stats in. Let me put a swing up here too, by the way. Watch a swing before I get to these stats. I mean, it's an unusual swing. All right, it's not going to play. Now that's how we're going to do it, huh? It's not going to play. All right, hold on a minute.
Load it up again.
Let's see if we can get a swing in.
Load it again.
All right, it's not going to play. Here we go. That's the way technology is. But first off, Lauer is a guy that has run up on the leaderboard a few times, right? And we've seen him. And you look at some of these key stats. You talked about the middle iron game, right? And some of the long iron game in there, 175 to 200. And, you know, look, Justin Lauer checks those boxes. You know, he's top 25, top 30, mid to long iron player in this field. I think he's a solid putter. He can hit a lot of greens. You know, his weakness can be the driver. And I think with the bigger fairways here, that's certainly going to play into his role. But look, I already, you know, I talked about the birdies in the top last 24 rounds coming in. Number three is Justin Lauer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think he's a guy that, kind of like Dietrich, has ran up there, got a little bit of the smoke, you know, got it in his system and like, okay, I'm here. Can I win? Okay, I'm not ready to win yet.
Yeah.
And I think has the firepower to run back up there, get in contention again on Sunday and see what he's learned. And so I think, you know, the model and some of the key characteristics, he checks those boxes. And we haven't seen him since, I think, Corrales. The only thing he doesn't have going for him is seeing some putts going in as of late. But, you know, three top 25s, I think, in his last three starts. Why not? Justin Lauer, McKinney, Texas.
So I think Justin Lauer, well, I'll say this, full disclosure, Justin Lauer is on my betting card. Okay. And you and I never talk about this ahead of time, you know. Sometimes you ask me mine, but you never tell me yours. So this is independent research here. But if you look at where he's good or where he's
70 been, to 1, 80 to 1, by the way.
Right? Oh, he was triple digits yesterday. So we're not the only one saying this, right? So Justin Lauer, where is he good? So you said, oh, he hasn't played and didn't see the ball going in the hole too much. Like, he was fourth at Corrales a couple weeks ago, right? Long golf course, got to make a lot of birdies. Right.
Yep.
All right. What's another good comp? Mexico? I don't know. He finished third there 2 months ago. Right. Yep. Another good comp, Detroit Golf Club, a place where there is very little penalty for kind of spraying it a little bit. And you got to make a ton of birdies. Right. He finished eighth there last year. Like, on the places where this is why I'm not the hugest model guy, but like, when you look at skill sets and why certain guys play at good places, you just can't be Scottie Scheffler and be good everywhere, right? You have a certain like archetype of course that you're good on. And Justin Lauer is good on a golf course like this. It's 7,400 yards. You're going to bomb away and you got to make a lot of birdies. And you may not know his name, but this guy, he could score. And, you know, I love the fact that he was triple digits yesterday and the guy's falling like a brick. I mean, you know, that tells you that people are betting the heck out of this guy, which means that we're not far off.
A lot of good points. Houston, you know, he was played well there, had a good putting week. So I don't know. I think he's, you know, in this kind of field, we kind of go back to the top of the board. You know, it's hard for me to get too excited up top there. I mean, Spieth coming in as the favorite. Stop. I mean, are you gonna bet Jordan Spieth right now at 14-1? I mean, I don't think so. Siwoo Kim 16, Jason Day, the defending champ, in there at 18-20. Will Zalatoris, you gonna bet Will? What is he showing you over the last couple times out at 20-1? Adam Scott, okay. Sungjae has really struggled this year. He's at 28. I mean, this is kind of what the top of the board looks like. So how do you get excited about what's happening there? And I'll just kind of comment on Jordan, then I'll give it over to you, and you can steer the ship here at the top of the board. But, you know, it's just I think a lot about Jordan just because I like Jordan Spieth. I'm a fan of Jordan Spieth. And I oftentimes go back and I look at how dominant he was when he was the number one player back in 2017 and 2018. And then he decided to, you know, chase some distance. And we know Jordan lost his game for 3 years. And we've seen just, you know, little bits and pieces really over the last few years. I know he won, 2 years ago? But it's just, you know, he's 30, right? You know, Jordan Spieth's 30 years old. Yep. You go back to his time when just things looked just athletic and the genius coming out in Jordan Spieth, scoring average, you know, at one point was 68.9, 68.8 in 2016 and 17, 69 in 2017, 2018. And now you look at it this year and he's 71.1, you know, and it's just how far I think Jordan, his game has fallen in many ways, and he's just nowhere near the player that he was, not even close. And we've seen signs where it comes together and, you know, and he can get the ball up and down and he can do those spectacular and genius things at Jordan. It's still in there, but just that fabric and that, just that version of himself that he is right now, boy, it's just not even close to where it was back in 16, 17 and 18. It's a shame. It makes me sad because I'd love to see Jordan Spieth get back to playing that kind of golf. And it just feels like, has that time come and gone?
How many other golfers do we spend this much time talking about that have won twice in the last 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Yeah.
I can't even think of a, of a comp, right? It's just, I'm not saying his time has passed. It's just, and I understand why he's the betting favorite in this field, because if you look at the field, you know, he is going to draw the most attention and the most liability for the books. But like at the end of the day, that's why my first click, it was like, you asked me to steer. I don't have anyone to talk about here at the top of the board. I mean, all these guys are here for a reason. Yeah. You know, they're all trying to build some momentum going into the next 2 weeks, because they're huge. And, you know, like I just don't see it. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, you know, the first guy that really, and you know, I'll fall into the trap for a minute for the trivia question, but like, who's the only guy to beat Scottie Scheffler in the last 2 months? Steven Yeager. Like, he's the first guy when you get in the mid 30s that I like look at and I go, well, that guy could win this week. Mm-hmm. Right. But when you go through the top of the board, right, I just said my piece on Spieth, right? Siwoo, it's the putter. He's the best tee to green guy in the field, but it's the putter. Can he make 27 putts, right? Birdie putts. Jason Day has been atrocious with his approach game, and that's what led him, you know, because he didn't putt very good here last year, but his iron game was impeccable, right, yep, that week. Zalatoris, again, when the conditions are very difficult, that's when Will separates. The conditions won't be difficult this week. Adam Scott, I mean, it's not 2 months ago. He had a great run in late January, early February, and it just hasn't been good since. Alex Noren is lively here in my mind. Ben On, I don't know. Tom Kim, back when he won the Shriners in the fall, was ranked 11th in the world. He's ranked 23rd right now. Right? He's 77th in FedEx Cup points. Like, he's not even inside he's like having a JT year. He's not even inside, like, making the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, right? Yeah. Minwoo Lee was great in December down in Australia. It's like he stayed there, you know? I mean, he and his sister, they've been terrible this year. Minji's been not very good at all. And then now, you know, Sungjae, we've talked about numerous times. Tom Hoagie is going to get blacklisted. I mean, he makes that 9 at RBC, trying to catch a plane. And then last week he misses the cut with Matt McNeely at the Zurich. I'm like, I don't know there. So, I mean, Jaeger's the first guy I get excited about. And then right there, boom, you've got Dietrich, and I like Mac Hughes in this situation for all the reasons that Mac Hughes was good in Houston. You know, guy can let the shaft out a little bit and he knows how to score. And that's kind of the MO that we have here. And Mac Hughes, and I keep saying this about the Canadians, they all want to play at Royal Montreal for Mike Weir. If there was 8 Canadians of 12 guys on that President's Cup team, they would love it. So they're going to keep grinding all year on a week like this, where they can gain a ton of points, or maybe a win would put them on the team for good. So I instantly go to the middle of the board, where I want to talk to you about guys like, about, well, we already talked about Dietrich and Hughes. But how about Hubbard and Seamus Power? These are two more guys that I'm featuring that I love this week.
I like Seamus Power. Yeah, for sure. I definitely would play Seamus Power. I think he's approach game. I think he checks the box. He's played pretty well here too. My tournament history just went.
No, he's played good here.
Yeah, he's played good here. There you go. Yeah. So he's had 3 top 20s in the last 3 years. You know, so
all
this
at
is a guy that
Craig Ranch.
All at TPC Craig Ranch. So this is a guy that really likes this play. Seamus Power is one that I've circled, and I circled Mackenzie Hughes too. You know, you took it right. We don't, you know, we're kind of in line here, which is kind of weird because usually we have more disagreements, but I like Seamus Power on the question that you mentioned. And I like Mackenzie Hughes, who is putting the lights out right now. Yeah. And I think kind of fits that model of Lowry. He's going to have a little bit more room here off the tee, which I like. I think his iron game has been fine. His short game has been really good if he needs it. So I think Mackenzie Hughes is an interesting look here. 14th last year, Canadian, wants to play for Mike Weir. I'm in on Mackenzie Hughes. I think down as we go a little bit further, couple of names that I've circled, you know, Chan Kim's interesting. I don't know if he can win.
Yeah.
But I think he's a guy that as we get down in the 80-1, Peter Quest, I think, is getting a lot of respect with his skill set here. I didn't bet that, but I see some guys talking about it. And then why not Matty Schmidt down here in 90-100? I mean, the guy fits the model here, makes a ton of birdies. He's done some work with a friend of mine, Jonathan Yarwood, who I've been kind of talking to him about. In fact, Matty lives here in Jackson, and Yarwood came in and spent some time with him around the Players and thereafter, and he stopped by the studio. And they've done some good things. It's taken nicely, and he's gaining some confidence. So, you know, as I get down into some of these long shots, which we're getting to a little bit earlier today in today's show, you know, I sprinkle a little on Matty.
Yeah, he's a birdie machine.
Yeah,
you know, he popped at the Players, and then since that time, he's played very nicely. He's played very, very nicely. And Chan Kim's another guy, big, powerful, golf swing. You know,
I like
there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, Chan Kim, really nice guy. I spoke to him at the Players. He was walking by me, and he dropped his putter cover, and I picked it up, and I walked over to him, and he couldn't have been more, you know, appreciative of me handing it back to him or whatever. And I said, hey, you know, and then I said, oh, you know, how are you playing? Blah, blah, blah. And I mean, just what a really, really solid guy. So it's nice to see some of these guys that that live in the gray area there that are, you know, playing some good golf. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that Matty Schmidt in this field, even though we said it's not the strongest field in the world, he makes a lot of birdies. He makes like a lot, you know, like insert hyperbole. The guy makes a lot of birdies against the field. And, you know, I mean, he's like one of those guys. If he hits the green, he's making birdie, because if he misses a green, because, you know, you guys are going to miss 4 to 6 greens, you know, a round or whatever. But like, if he hits, I mean, his putting numbers and his birdie conversion rate is very, very strong.
I mentioned Peter Quest. He's, you know, he makes a lot of birdies as well. The other thing about Schmidt too is he's good in that mid and long iron game too. I mean, he's gonna throw those up there and give himself a lot of looks. This is a good course fit for Schmidt. It really is. I feel good about that bet. I was just kind of went last 12 rounds here and looking into guys that, you know, opportunities gain is a good look. They don't always convert into birdies. But of course, Joel Damon's on that list. And, you know, we know that Joel kind of struggles with the putter. Tom Hoagie, who you just so easily just brushed to the side here this week. You know, another guy that's popped up in these opportunities but struggles with the flat stick. Really good off the tee, hits a lot of greens, very solid in that 175 to 200, 200 plus is Kevin Yu. I don't know if he can do enough with the putter. That's the only issue there. Man, it's amazing. Someone teach Kevin Yu how to putt. Wow.
That guy can
figure it out with his putter. Look out.
Travis, there's a lot of guys on that list.
Yeah.
If you're a full-time instructor, right? And I used to be like, it's like, oh, okay, we fixed Scotty essentially. Who would you go after next? Kevin Yu's like pretty far down my list. I might try Will Zalatoris. I might try Lucas Glover. I mean, like some guys that are going to accrue some wins. I mean, if Will Zalatoris could putt remotely well, how many wins would he have? How many wins would Cam Young have? I mean, I would go to Wake Forest, you know, like, and just work with the alumni. I mean, come on, you know, like, geez, I'll flip. Like, you're talking about Kevin Yu, and I mean, look, some of these guys, JT, there's another one, you know,
That's who I would go. If I had to pick, I'd say JT. That's the one that I would go next. Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, there's a lot there, you know? I mean, speaking of putting, though, let's go the reverse of that, though. Who can roll the rock? And you mentioned Peter Quest, right? Oh, here's a good one for you. Did you see the playoff live on Sunday at Zurich? Were you watching
on Sunday? I didn't watch much golf, no.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
But when Trainer and Chad Ramey, when Martin Trainer and Chad Ramey find out they're going to the playoff against Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy, the looks on their faces are like, oh, right? I mean, if there was ever a time for, I don't know who would have been betting Ramey and Trainer, but like if there was ever a hedge bet, like I don't care what the odds were in the playoff, it was like dump it all on Lowry and McElroy just to get your money back. I mean, like those guys, I don't know that granted they went out an alternate shot. I don't know that I've seen five worse they made bogey, but I don't know that I've seen six worse shots by tour pros in succession in a playoff ever in my life. I mean, it was bad. You know, those poor guys looked like a deer in headlights. It was tough. I would have rather seen them go against somebody in their peer class than to go against two major champions. But you know,
what about Chad Ramey? He was there last week. He can putt. Chad Ramey can putt.
That's why I brought it up, because he's sitting there at the top of the, you know, at the putting list. You know,
Not a great course for him, Chad.
Yeah, I think there's also
he's a straight driver. This isn't his spot.
Well, much to that story, I think there's a little scar tissue from last week, so I'm not gonna.
You think?
Touch that? Yeah. Oh,
God, that putt. I did watch Martin Trainer's putt.
Hang on. Martin Trainer. So Rory gets up there and he pipes it, right? Then Martin Trainer gets up there and he pulls his drive way left of the water. Then Chad Ramey hits this snap hook 3-wood into the stands. Then Trainer chips it, hits it fat, short of the green. And then Ramey gets up there and he's got like probably 15 good feet of uphill fringe. And he doesn't chip it. He putts it. So how much pressure is he feeling? Then he hits it to like 6 feet, and then Trainer gets up there, and then you saw the putt. Those were the six shots, or the five shots, and then the tap-in would be six. But like, there's some scar tissue there. It's not going to be good.
I mean, it's you know, the old adage of, man, it's so deep out there and this and that, and it gets a little bit overused, but it really is. My goodness, you just never know. I mean, Chad Ramey and Trainer are going to win this thing, get a two-year exemption. I mean, what that would have meant for Martin Trainer, who's missed, you know, his last three cuts coming in, was 19th at Mexico. I mean, really just hasn't done anything. 15th at Worldwide. But man, we're seeing a whole lot of MCs, a whole lot of, okay, made the cut, finishing 60th.
Yeah.
And here he is with his partner going to win a PGA Tour event on Sunday. And it takes Rory and Lowry to come up and nip him. So it's amazing, really, just how talented a Martin Trainer is, who can just easily be brushed aside and say, oh gosh, he looked nervous down the stretch and kind of, you know, cost him a little bit, you know, with some shots, but at the same time, you know, was exceptional, played exceptional golf for four rounds next to Chad Ramey.
So on that putting list, a little further down, probably one of the better bombers on the putting list is another Canadian fighting to get on that team, was on the team in Charlotte at Quail Hollow, and that's Taylor Pendrith. But Taylor Pendrith is not just a bomber, he can also putt. And he's been good lately. He was decent with Connors pairing up at the Zurich. I think they finished 11th. You know, that's I kind of like Taylor Pendrith in this situation, which I have some scar tissue there with him too, but I'm willing to go back just because I think it's a good fit. And I think that he has the talent like Dietrich and some of these other guys that we're talking about, Justin Lauer, they have the talent to win in a middle field event.
Yeah. Yeah. You like Pendrith. He's one of your guys.
I mean, he's good. He's good again at Detroit. He's good at Mexico. He's good at Corrales. He's good at places where you can let the shaft out and, you know, and then, you need a little long iron play, but then you also got to be able to putt, because you got, like, these are all places where you got to make high 20s of birdies, and that's what these guys can do. When you like really ratchet it down and you put them on a super hard golf course where scoring is now in like 12 under, then we're not talking about these guys, right? But you go to these birdie fests, that's their specialty. And the one thing I like about Pendrith versus some of these other guys is that he actually is a really good putter. He's a really good putter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Top putters in the field last 24 rounds, Montgomery, no surprise. Yep. Alexander Bork, Aaron Baddeley, Quest.
Yep.
Chad Ramey, he can roll it. Adam Scott, 6. Jason Suh, no surprise. Raul Pereda, the pride of the Jacksonville Dolphins. I like Raul. I've been DMing him a little bit. He's sent me some swings, and he's in the field this week.
He needs to make more birdies. He's not.
Garrett Higgo is 9. Stuart Sink is 10. Day, Pendrith, there he is. Spieth, there's Dietrich. Hoagie's been putting the ball pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Overall.
Which is dangerous because he hits it close. He's been hitting it good. Gosh, you know?
I know he missed the cut last week, but I feel like I'm going to go back and bet Hoagie, which he's been bet down, but I like Hoagie.
Yeah.
I like the Mackenzie Hughes bet. I think that's I feel good about that. I feel good about Schmid. I feel good about Lauer. I like the Dietrich. The only other name that I haven't mentioned that's on my list here, I talked about Kevin Yu. I'm probably going to pass on that.
How about you skip past skip past Hubbard? I mentioned Hubbard earlier.
Yeah.
No Hubbard?
Well, can he win?
Well, I mean, we've mentioned a lot of guys that have it. Can Matty Schwinn win?
He converts.
Can Justin Lauer converts. Win? He does. He scores.
He does.
He scores.
Hubbard converts. When he gets a look, he's 13th in birdies in this field, last 24 rounds. Short putting maybe a little concerns me a little bit. Solid approach player. We know that. Checks the box from 175 to 200. Yeah. I mean, I haven't bet it, but I think it's a fair position. Daniel Berger's in the field. He's played well here in the past, still trying to find his game.
Yeah.
Robert McIntyre's in the field. I didn't realize that until just now. So McIntyre
played last week with Dietrich. They finished 8th. 8th. Yeah.
Alexander Borg, he can putt. He's 150-1.
Doesn't make enough birdies.
Yep. No. Yeah, that he's birdie making... status key.
Yeah, so just so people at home don't get confused, how can somebody be a good putter and not make a lot of birdies? Is that they're putting for par?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, strokes gained putting is how it takes the putting in a vacuum. So
it's funny how we've kind of run our own models and have come up with the names that we've had here on today's show. And then I go back and I just go to the birdie stat and how these names, you know, are right there. Pendrith.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie. Justin Lauer.
I mean, if you combine birdie or better, and you also combine how many birdies these guys gain on the field, right? And then you look at that list, right? Then you have, you know, you're looking at Matty Schmid, Tom Hoagie, Taylor Pendrith, Keith Mitchell, Justin Lauer, Hayden Springer, Ben On, Jordan. Charlie Hoffman, Jimmy Stanger, Higgo, Hubbard. I mean, these are the guys that score all the time. You know, they score, you know. Now they make mistakes. A lot of those guys do, and that's why you don't see them win a ton of tournaments. But in an event where, I mean, the average, so those three winners, their average winning score is 25 under par, and the average number of birdie or better or subpar scores they made was 27. So it goes to show you, it's not a hard golf course, right? They're making on average 2 to 3 bogeys over 72 holes, and they're making all those birdies. So if you got a guy who can really fill up the cup and score a lot of birdies and on an easier golf course, I mean, this is why we're looking at Corrales. We're looking at Puerto Rico. We're looking at Detroit. These are easier golf courses, Mexico. Those guys are good there. Chances are it's a good week for it.
Last name I was going to mention, I'm going to get back on Jake Knapp.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm going to get back on Jake Knapp with some Knapp. Odds there as well. Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, look, we know Jake start of the year was living in the top 5 Farmers. Of course, he won Mexico. We talked about the comp to Mexico. Yeah. Palm Beach, he was 4th. Like, he was doing it all, right? His short game is kind of his weakness, which I don't think is overly important here this week.
Yeah.
So you talk about letting the driver out a little bit, some more room. Iron game, I think, has been fine. think he's lost his putter a little bit, maybe a little fatigue, you know, as well, you know, settling in here as he's full time. So he played Heritage, took a week off. Now he's back. I'm gonna get back on Knapp as my final name. I know that kind of surprises you, but I think I like what I saw at Mexico. I like the comp there. I like that he's rested, and we can let that big dog out here a little bit with the driver.
I mean, you can't. This is the problem with a field like this: is that like. You know, Dietrich, the weakest part of his game is short game. Well, we don't really need a ton of short game here. So it starts to bring more guys into the conversation. And it'd be tough for me to argue against Jake Knapp other than since he won and he had a couple good rounds after that, he looked fatigued. But if he's rested, he's getting rested, or if he's back down in a field where he's not sharing a locker next door to, you know, Justin Thomas or something, then maybe he feels like, well, you know, like I can win again.
Yeah. I think it's kind of been waiting for that. Okay, and when does Jake resurface? A little rest, a field like this. All right, yeah. I think it's time. It's time for the driver to, you know, he's hit a few foul balls. He's had some tough moments with his driver, but you know, look, let's widen it out a little bit. Let's get it out there. Let's let the irons go to work. Positive 4 or 5, which he can do. And let's get the putter going again, which he can do. I mean, that stretch of golf that he played was impressive. And so if we can come out and, you know, fresh and, you know, you're not bumping shoulders with Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy on both sides of you, and you start feeling like, okay, this is a good week for me to get some vibes going again. I'll sprinkle a little Jake. What is he at right now? My odds just went off. He's got to be
100 to 1.
Yeah, he's 100.
How about this? I'm just looking at Knapp real quick because he did something at Bay Hill that I don't know that I've seen many times. He lost 11 strokes against the field with his driver.
Yeah. Jesus.
Wow. And he still made there was no cut. Sorry.
That's like darn near driver. Yep.
I mean, that's like crazy, but, yeah, I mean, other than the driver, he's still pretty solid. He's fourth in the field in approach, you know, but he's since Palm Beach, he's been mediocre, and he was, you're going to need some Mexico vibes there. Play some JT or something. Yeah. You're going to need some Mexico vibes because, Heritage wasn't his best showing. But yeah.
All right. Anybody else? That's I've mentioned my entire everybody that I had circled and that I want to talk about.
No, I mean, I've had some guys drop like Lauer, you know, out of the triple digits. But for me, it runs the gambit from Dietrich to Pendrith and a couple in between. And I really feel like the guy is going to come from that 40 to 128 land. And much like KH Lee 2 years ago. And then I'll see you next week from Charlotte. Next 2 weeks, I'm on the road.
You'll be on the road on site the next 2 weeks. So feel be sure to tune in next week from Wells Fargo. And then we go to Valhalla.
I'm very happy to go back to Wells because we hit Wyndham there last year at 75 to 1, my friend, you and I.
And all right, it's time to go. You hit last week and on the LPGA Tour, some good bets this week. I agree. I think we're going to be in that 40-50 plus range this week in the winner's circle. And I just happen to think it'll be one of the guys that we talked about. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next Tuesday.